Greetings with grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And our text for this second Sunday in Advent is taken from the second epistle of St. Peter, the third chapter. We're going to read all of that chapter, verses 1 through 18. That's 2 Peter 3, 1 through 18, where we read in the name of our Lord. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty God, we thank you for these words that you gave our beloved brother Peter, who truly, like you, loved us. We pray, Father, that we would hearken to them. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. When we read these words of St. Peter, we recognize going through the scripture, Peter is us. He represents us all the time. When you deal with St. Peter, you're always dealing with this message of understanding that when we see the behavior of St. Peter in the Gospels, we see ourselves. You know, St. Peter is always the one who opens his mouth. He's always the one who says all this stuff. And then all of a sudden he finds out he's wrong and he goes through all these sorts of things and all of this stuff happens to him. But he also is the one upon whom the Lord gives this tremendous revelation of Jesus Christ. And so St. Peter is perfectly able to speak to us. And as the last thing that Jesus said to him was after he even had denied Jesus, Jesus restored him 3 times by telling him, tend my sheep, feed my lambs. And this is what he does. This is why I love reading Peter's epistles. Because when Peter writes, he says very clearly, he says, I want you to always remember, you need to remember that Jesus Christ died for you. You need to understand that your sin has been taken away in the blood of the Lamb. And St. Peter says, I'm going to die soon at the beginning of this epistle. He says, I'm going to die soon. He says, the time has come for me to go. But he says, until that day, what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you over and over and over again. He says, all I'm going to do is tell you over and over and over and over again that your sins have been taken away, that the blood of the Lamb gives you peace, that you have this restoration. And I'm no better than St. Peter. I'm telling you one thing, and that's all I'm going to tell you. The grace of God is for you. All this other stuff is schlock. Don't waste your time listening to it. It's garbage. The only thing out there that matters is this message of the gospel that tells you very clearly you need to understand the power of God's grace and the power of what he has wrought through Jesus the Christ. And you need to understand that that power is in you and it is given to you through Jesus the Christ freely and fully without cost, without price, so that you understand that every day of your life you live in the light of God's grace and you live in his peace. What we have done is we have buried the thing that's most important with all the garbage that we put on top of it. And we call that religion. And there's another word for that, but you don't use that from the pulpit. The reality of things is to understand that by the power of God's grace, what Peter holds on to is this understanding. You understand when you look at everything, when you understand anything that's going on in the world, when you analyze any of these things, you do them only from the gospel. You do them only from the point of view of the finished work of Jesus Christ. And this is why he says this. He says, this second time, he says, I'm writing to you again. He says, I'm rousing your sincere mind. What this word means in Greek is that it's one-minded, single-minded. He says, I'm arousing your single-mindedness to remember the words that were spoken to you by the consecrated prophets beforehand and the Lord and Savior's commandment that was said by us, the sent ones, he says. He says, realize this. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to show up. He says, and they're going to talk according to their own desires. And they're going to tell you all sorts of schlock. And they're going to, no, that's not his word, that's mine. But he says that in order to understand that you realize this is what's going on. Consistently throughout this world, we are peppered with garbage by people who represent themselves as speaking for God. They don't speak for God. They speak out of the pit. Because anything that pulls you away from Jesus Christ, anything that causes you to have a problem in that regard, anything that gives you anxiety about this does not come from God. It's a lie. And the lie has done more damage in the name of religion than any other thing could have ever done. Because it has caused people to be suspicious. It has caused people to question everything, and then they judge it according to their rational mind. Brilliant. That's brilliant. Because let me tell you, your rational mind is just as fallen as all the rest of you. It's the judge of nothing. The reality of things is, as he says here, what you need to know is the words that were spoken by the prophets and by the apostles and by Jesus Christ himself. And he says, and you understand, he already told us, there's going to be all sorts of people show up and they're going to say all sorts of nonsensical things. And Jesus told us there would be all sorts of false Christs, there would be all sorts of false prophets, and he says, don't listen to them. He says, don't listen to them. He says, what these people don't understand, he says, what they are totally ignorant of is the fact that God simply created everything. And God will bring it out of existence when he pleases. That's it. If you need to know anything about the end of the world, there's what you need to know. God created it. God sustains it. God keeps it. He's going to keep doing it until he doesn't anymore. He's not going to ask us to vote. He's not going to come in and say, what do you guys think? You know, how do you think I should do this? What do you think of this when I do this thing over there? Does that make you scared? So that people can write another movie and make another book. The reality is that he says very clearly, he says, they don't understand. God does this. It's only God that does it. And he doesn't seek anyone else's advice. He knows full well exactly what he's doing. And as a matter of fact, he says, that's how it was when the first world was drowned. And he's talking about it Noah's time. He said it was overflowed with water. Who did it? God. That's it. He says, but the heavens that now are and the earth, he says, they're kept protected. He says, God keeps them. He says, God does this because that's what he does. He keeps it. And he says, they're being kept for fire because there will be a day of judgment. So as the first time it was destroyed with a flood, he says, now it will be destroyed with fire. And he says, and God will send forth a judgment on the earth. And you remember, that's what Paul said on the Areopagus. He had this great sermon, gets up there. Last thing he says, God has appointed a day by which he will judge this world by this man whom he raised from the dead. Because the reality of things is all of this is in the hand of God. It's fully in the hand of God. And he says, so you need to understand. He says, God is timeless. You know, you got this commercial that comes on. This guy has been saying that what's next on God's prophetic calendar? Let me tell you, God ain't got a calendar. You know, I can't see God with one of those funeral home ones with all the pictures of the puppies. God's like sitting there flipping through the pages. I'm going to get over here, you know, and then I'm going to let them have it. I mean, how stupid is that? And why do we ever listen to that garbage? God doesn't have a calendar. And that's what St. Peter says. He says, you need to understand, God is timeless. He doesn't have any relationship to time. He doesn't relate to our time. God isn't turning around saying, oh, yeah, they all showed up for church today. It must be Sunday. That's just wacky. God doesn't operate that way. That is done for us. That's all. The calendar, the seasons, he says that right in Genesis, like Peter talked about from the beginning. God set that up for us, not for God. And he says very clearly, he says, because for God, he's just in a constant present, which is why when he appears to Moses, what does he say? He says, you just tell him, I am, sent him. And if you're good with your English grammar, you know that's just the simple present tense. I am. He says, I am. I just am. All you need to know is I am. All you do is you go tell Pharaoh, I am. It says, because I'm alive. His gods are junk. They don't do diddly squat. He says, I'm alive. And this is why Peter says, to understand this, but this does not mean that he delays the promise. He says, the Lord doesn't delay the promise. Like some people consider a delay, but he's patient toward you. And this is what we need to understand about what we speak about as Christians, is to understand exactly what St. Peter is talking about. This guy who denied Jesus, who fell all over himself trying to be really, really spiritual and found himself always on the wrong side of the coin, always was restored by Jesus Christ, comes in and says, you need to understand. He's just patient. And he's not planning that anyone be destroyed. You see, we're sick. We're a sick group of people. And actually, when you go back and you read to the people that talk about the judgment, they almost delight in it. There's a song that they used to sing in the good old United States of America. We'll rejoice to see a burning world. Honestly, Don't you think that's a little sick? The only time when God talks about those things, he talks about them with a great deal of pain. Because God loves what he created. He loves it. And it is the most horrible thing for God to have to destroy it. And he knows that he has to destroy it. But as St. Peter says, who loves us as well, St. Peter says he is not willing that any should perish. He's not willing. That's not what he wants. But as he says very clearly, that all people should come to repentance, what he wants is for them to hear the blessed gospel, to hear the gospel, because it is the goodness of God. St. Paul says in Romans 2:4, do you not know? It is the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. I can batter you all day with all of your sinfulness and all the rotten stuff you've done, and let me tell you what that's going to get you. That'd be diddly squat. Nothing. Because all the people that have preached all that judgment all these years, they've stopped all the sin of the world, haven't they? You go, you look at New England. There's no sin in New England, is there? No sin there. No, no, no. The Puritans preached that judgment for years and years and years. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. And look at what it did. There's no Christian. There's nobody in Boston that isn't a Christian. They're all believers. That's garbage. The only thing that saves a person is the gospel of Jesus Christ. A simple understanding that God became incarnate. He entered our race. He joined himself to us in such a way that he could never be separated, because he desires that all people would be saved, that they would all come to the knowledge of the truth, that they would come to repentance. And the only hope that they have of coming to repentance is that beautiful gospel that tells them very clearly, sinner though you be, God will receive you. He just freely receives you. You come to him. You come to him. And he will give you rest. And this is why Peter says this. He says, but when the day comes, he says, yes, it's going to be like a thief in the night. He says, it's going to come suddenly. You got all these people that write all these books like they know how to map this out. What a joke. Jesus said very clearly, no one knows the hour of the day. No one. No one knows it. He says very clearly, it's going to come very, very suddenly. He says, and then one of my favorite Greek words is in here. He says, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. That's not what this says in Greek. This is a great Greek word. It's used very seldomly. It's only used here in the New Testament. What it actually means is to sound like a... And it's an onomatopoeia, actually, is what it is. It means like it's going to come like an arrow flying in the sky that also all of a sudden bursts into flame, crackles into flame. And that's what he says. He says, this is how quickly this is going to happen. And I've told you before, if you understand the nature of quantum reality, and you understand when you flip on a light switch, you don't burn. But every one of those electrons that's in that wire is at 144,000 degrees Fahrenheit. 144,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Every one of them. You flip on a light switch. Gwen flipped them on today. We're still here. You know, we didn't blow up. We didn't burn up. Why? Because the energy is quantized. It's quantized. You don't get it all at once. So now imagine if one day God decided, yep, all the energy goes at once. Every electron at 144,000 degrees Fahrenheit all gives off the fullness of its energy. Whoosh! That's it. How quick will that take? Like the scripture says, it's a blink of an eye. He says, and he describes it very clearly. He says, all the elements shall melt with fervent heat. He says, the earth and everything that's within it shall be burned up. He says, then seeing this and understanding this, that this is not permanent, that it's just a temporary existence, he says, then how should you live? How do you live? And he says, you live looking for and waiting for the coming of the day. You live in expectation of it. And he says, because the heavens and the earth are going to be dissolved with fire, and everything's going to melt with fervent heat, so how do you live? By the gospel. You live by the gospel. You live in this expectation that, as a matter of fact, this is not our permanent home. As a matter of fact, we live here on borrowed time, so to speak. We understand very clearly that our presence is eternally with God, and we are already seated together with Christ in the heavenly places, as Paul writes in Ephesians. That we understand this is now the way that we live. And we look forward to this promise. He says we have a promise that's given to us, a new heaven, a new earth. He says, because within that is nothing but righteousness. And he says, therefore, loved ones of mine, gotta love St. Peter, says, loved ones of mine, seeing that you're looking for such things, be diligent that ye be found in him, in peace, without spot, and blameless. Because you are. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, as the scripture clearly says, cleanses us from all iniquity. And we are at peace. We have a peace not as this world gives peace, but a peace that transcends all human understanding. And we are blameless in his sight, without spot, the scripture says. And it says very clearly that we understand now, that being our God who was willing to become incarnate, who was willing to be joined to us, who was willing to go to the cross for us, who was willing to take our sin for us, who was willing to take our death for us, and to rise again and take us with him. That our God is really, really a very wonderful Father. And he's not going to pull the rug out from under us. And he's never going to threaten us with that. As a matter of fact, he only gives us the gospel. And he tells us, dwell in peace, dwell in hope, dwell in expectation. And he says, and he adds to this again, because of course you recognize ancient literature is very redundant. He says very clearly, he says an account that the long suffering of our Lord, the patience of our Lord, is salvation. That's an ontological statement. He makes it an ontological statement. In other words, it has a being quality to it. He says, the long suffering of God is salvation. Because that's what he desires. Because he doesn't have a calendar. He doesn't care when somebody repents. He's not sitting there saying, you know, I'm busy Tuesday, repent another day. He understands our life from the beginning to the end. And he seeks this repentance, that all people would come to him, that they would receive the fullness of everything that he has already provided for them, because he has already provided it all. There isn't a thing that he has left out. And he simply says, so come. He says, you come, you come. Now remember, the guy that wrote this is the guy that denied Jesus three times. Actually, the Greek word is he disowned him. He said, I don't know who he is. Do you think maybe he understood the grace of God? And he understood what that repentance really meant, of how God was truly gracious, even to St. Peter. And now you understand. Do you think maybe God is gracious to you? Yes. Whether you think it or not, he is. Yes. And that's the whole purpose of Advent. Advent is to quicken us and strengthen us through the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God that awaits the return of Jesus the Christ, the Holy Spirit that strengthens us and testifies to the finished work of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit that testifies that, as a matter of fact, you are indeed the children of God, the Holy Spirit who tells us there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, so that you live. You live. Because you understand, it's like my dad. I probably told you this story before, but crying out loud, I'm 67. I don't remember. So you come to this point, I understand my dad, when my dad was dying, you know, I couldn't stay there with my dad. I had to go back, you know, because I had a job to do and things like that. And my dad, the pastor came and he was telling me, you know, I visited your dad the other day. He said, I went to give him communion, and my dad had bad emphysema. Now they call it COPD. But he had really bad emphysema, and his lungs were failing. They were at their end. And the pastor leaned over my dad to give him communion. My dad reached up and grabbed him, pulled him down closer to him, and he said, Pastor, this is only practice. See, because my dad understood he was an eternal being. Though his flesh would die, he couldn't die. He wasn't going to die. This was just practice. When our eyes close on this earth, then we'll open them in the real game. Our eyes will open. And we will see Jesus the Christ in the fullness of his radiance. We will see him in all of his glory. And the oddest thing is, we will have it within ourselves. We will be in the fullness of his glory in his radiance. Don't live your life in garbage. Don't allow that to be buried for 1 second. Don't allow somebody to come in and pile nonsense on top of that. You just stay focused on that gospel of Jesus Christ. You keep your eyes fixed upon Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. And then you're like St. Peter, because that's why St. Peter says this. He says, you account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. And remember, I've been preaching to you out of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, because that's what Paul does the whole time. Tells you very clearly, yes, this day is coming and it will happen as a thief, but he says, it will not overtake you as a thief. He says, because you are all children of light and you are children of the day. And he says, and God has not appointed us to wrath, but he has appointed us to salvation. And Peter writes, he says, in all of his epistles, he speaks of all of these things. He says, a lot of them are very difficult to understand. He says, but the unlearned and the unstable twist them all around and they make up mythologies out of them. And he says, and they don't understand, they do it to their own destruction. He says, but you, he says, seeing that you know these things ahead of time, he says, you pay attention so that you aren't pulled in that direction. He says, you are not led away and you fall from your own steadfastness. You can trust Jesus Christ is what he's saying. You can trust him to the fullness of all things. And you have to put away all the clamor and nonsense that goes around. And you have to have your ears, your eyes, your heart, your mind fixed on Jesus. On Jesus and nothing else. And that's why he can say these great words, so grow in grace. Yep, that's it. Grow in grace. Grow in grace. Understand the grace of God, the grace that is upon grace, as it talks about in the first chapter of John. This grace that comes to us in this Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is upon grace. It's grace in an endless stream is literally what that means in Greek. You stay fixed on this grace in the endless stream and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you can get by without knowing quantum physics. But you can't get by without knowing Jesus. It's Jesus who is the key to all of this. And if you are in Jesus, you got it all. You got the whole enchilada. You got everything. You have everything. And he says, so to him be glory now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this word. We thank you for this Advent season, Father. We thank you that through the blood of the Son, you have prepared us for that coming. And Father, you give us this season when we can go forth into this world and simply declare the gospel. But that's every season, isn't it? You have given us this hope, Father, and this peace, so that we can share this with people around us. Because, Father, there are many scoffers, and they are ignorant of these things. They do what they do because they don't know any better, because the garbage has been used to pull them away from the simple truth that God loves the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. And Father, that's you, our God. You love this world so deeply that you simply gave us Jesus. That if we come, you freely receive us for Jesus' sake, and his blood cleanses us from all iniquity. We pray, Father, that in this season, when we spend so much time concerned about shopping days and everything else, that, Father, that our hearts would be focused upon your Son. And we would see that glory, and we would do even as you have bidden us to preach the gospel. And recognize, Father, that your long suffering to us is salvation. Your patience, Father, works what you desire, that all people should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Grant us this, Father, for Jesus' name's sake, for it is in his holy name that we pray it. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion and fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.